Hi. Hello, everybody. It's Matt Weinstein recording. I'm actually doing a little bit of improvisation here because I was just planning on putting a grumpter together, but then I was listening to one of my favorite programs, which is with the Katie Halpern and... am I plosiving too much? I moved my microphone a little. I put it back on the swing arm, and now I feel like I'm a bit plosive. Am I pa pa pa? I'm not even facing pa 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 pa. Who cares? I get so caught up in audience. I get so caught up in just stupid shit. Oh, now the air conditioner. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Hold on. Jesus. Fuck me. Hold on. Christ. That really sucked. My profession is garbage. All right, so, but I wanted to say that I was listening. Yeah, I talked, I did the gram, blah, petit, blah, petit, blah. But what I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. Hava, oh, hoidel, have I made a mess? That's Fiddler on the Roof, and I didn't mean to Fiddler on the Roof with you, audience. What I wanted to talk to you about is the business with the business. What I didn't talk about is the fact that I can't remember what I was going to say. No, I do remember. The thing is, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, had their platform meeting this week, and they decided, I don't have the figures, but they decided by a huge margin not to put Medicare for All in the Democratic platform, right? Even though it's a fucking pandemic, even though they're not going to win the election against Trump without it because they're morons. But what, and I knew that, which is horrible, and it's ridiculous, and it's insane, and it's going to make us lose the election against the worst candidate in history. But what's even more ridiculous that they pointed out, that Matt and Katie pointed out, is that Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, even voted against Medicare for All. Can you believe that? Audience, can you believe that? I mean, I don't even know what to say. I just don't. I don't know what to say. Actually, I'm just stalling because I'm trying to play a song and it's not queuing up in my vagina holder. Oh, no. Not that again. Sometimes the thing gets stuck. Oh, shit. Is it even going to work? I don't even know. Like, I don't even know if this is going to record. Is this recording? I don't know. Jesus, I hate when this... Ever since I upgraded this thoughts and so, it's all fucked. Like, the mouse gets a sticky. I can't click the thing now. Let me see if I can stop. I don't know if this is going to happen. Okay, so it worked. I actually looked at an old Ableton forum, and it said, if you redrag the same clip, it'll happen. It'll fix it. So I redragged the same clip. And it fixed it. Isn't that crazy? It gets stuck in a copy and paste, and then I get really stuck. I hope I remember that for next time it happens. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, and here's a nice song from a retro song from Mr. Z-Tree, and then we'll get going into this grum.
Not everything in this world has to be beautiful for you to fall in love with it. Not everything in this world has to be beautiful for you to fall in love with it. Because look at that lesbian on the internet. Look at that lesbian on the internet. She's not exactly beautiful. Not exactly beautiful, but she's beautiful. Except to look at la la la. Thank you.
This is Matt Weinstein here, lesbian, internet personality, and I'm fat. Also, I'm walking, but right now I'm at a corner. I'm at the corner of Elaine Place and Roscoe here in Chicago. I always imagine that people will want to, like, I don't know if anybody ever has, but it, to me, let me make sure I'm still recording. You know, I always imagine that somebody wants to, like, visualize where I am, because, you know, the radio is the theater of the mind, right? So I just always want to, yeah, I like to tell you where I am so you can Google it, and then you might say, oh, that's where Madge is right now. It's extremely egotistical to me for me to say that and think that way, but remember, I am an awful person. I want to tell you that I'm very excited for my friends Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert are doing a new podcast soon. They've only been doing video for a long time on their RT, but I guess now that they have, you know, the quarantine, they're taking advantage of their time. I don't know how the fuck they have time to do this. They do 3 shows a week, and now they're doing a podcast. I can barely do, you know, 3 shows is what this is turning into a week with. I don't even really do anything except sit here with this thing in my mouth. Anyway, so they're doing the Orange Pill podcast, and I was just talking to them. They started a new Telegram group for it. I'm not going to add you to it. You don't give a shit. But I'm going to have them on the show to talk about their new podcast after it launches, which I believe will be next week. Very excited for them. You know, for those of you who've been listening to a long time, Max used to be a frequent contributor to the show, and he's just great. I don't know that Stacey has ever really been on my show, maybe in very limited, but she's so wonderful too. And I honestly, they're two of my favorite people. And really, if you ever want to get news from Twitter, just follow Stacey Herbert. I've said that before, because she is such a great. I don't know what you call her, like a news editor type person, maybe, but I mean, she's the way the show works, because, you know, I used to edit it in Paris. I think I've told you that like 3,000 times. The way it works is Stacey's basically the producer, and Max is kind of the improviser. So, you know, they both read all morning. You know, Max will read the paper, Stacey will look at, you know, all the news in her phone. This is just what I observed. I'm sure it's changed since then. So, Max will get all his news, and he sort of soaks it in, while Stacey takes notes and writes, you know, scripts and instructions and gets quotes. And then Max goes in completely unrehearsed and unscripted and just does his riffing. I think you call it a riff. And it's wonderful. And the two of them, what a wonderful combination to be able to do that, to have the one side, the two sides of the brain really together. And they're both so fucking smart that half the time I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But it's just so great to listen or to watch a show where people are, you can learn. I mean, it's not so far over your head that you can't learn it. It's just that you have to dedicate yourself to listening to their content on a regular basis in order to begin to grasp. And I can't complain. I can't say that I fully understand what they're talking about, even to this day. But I try, you know, and I may grasp a concept after they've been talking about it 2 years, and then they'll come up with some new, you know, sort of aphorisms, like the cantillion effect, which I still don't know what the fuck that is, but it has to do with people that make money. Cantillionaire is somebody who I think steals to make money or something. I can't remember. I know, I'm ashamed. I have a terrible retention. I couldn't even remember that. I was listening to Reagan's podcast yesterday, and he was talking about Trump, and it was like the senility test, and I don't think I could pass it either. I mean, Trump is probably less senile than me. It was like person, woman, man, television camera. I feel like I'm missing something. No, TV camera, I'm senile. But that was yesterday that I listened, so I guess it's okay to forget. I don't know. So anyway, really excited about their new show coming up, the Orange Pill Podcast. I'm going to have them on. It's going to be really exciting. I, you know, people always talk about reinventing. I've talked about reinventing and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's wonderful for some people. But for me, I really love nostalgia. And maybe I'm just now learning that about myself. But I like nostalgia. That's why I love those old-time radio programs that I've been playing at the end of the show, the Jack Benny collection of Thus and So. Oh, that reminds me. Every time I post on fucking YouTube, I get a goddamn copyright violation. And every time it's fucking bullshit and I have to contest it. They found a copyright violation of nothing. The other day, they found a copyright violation of a song I played that the mariachis played. Maybe I told you this at a protest. It was a couple weeks ago. The song was written in 1860. How is that a fucking copyright violation if it was written in 1860? It's fucking ridiculous. Oh, I got to talk about Divvy bikes. Remind me, audience. See, I have to be a Max and a Stacy all in one because I don't have a Stacy. If I had a Stacy, I could be a Max. Well, not really, because I'm not that smart. But I could try. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know what I was talking about. I started thinking about the Divvy bikes, and now I'm going to have a conversation. So I took them the other day, because you know my bike got stolen. So I rode. So I got the I thought, well, okay, so the Divvy bikes are the shared bikes here in Chicago. It's just like any other bikes, like the ones in Paris where I took one and I was with Bicycle Mark and then I got squished by a garbage truck. I don't know if Bicycle Mark remembers that, but I do because I was the one squished. And then I hurt my hip for like a few weeks. And the worst part is, you know, I got squished by a garbage truck, wedged in. The bike didn't work. I had to get it into a rack somewhere. Was so fun. But the most frustrating thing is I couldn't fucking... Oh, see, now I'm on a street. I got to get away. I hate this fucking traffic noise. But I couldn't fucking think of a good swear word because I don't speak French. So all I could do... You know, that's the most frustrating thing. When somebody, you know, wrecks your bike, squishes you, even though it's not your bike, you need to be able to call them a fucking cock-sucking asshole, right? I didn't know any French swear words. And I always learn I can do it in Dutch. Klootzak, kutwijf, kuthoer, soupkut. I made that one up, sort of. But the thing is, it was very frustrating. It was like a molestation not having the words. So all I could say was, vous-a-vous, asshole. I didn't even know that. Vous, asshole. 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 Horrible. So they have the Divvy bikes here. Man, hold on. Just checking. So they have the Divvy bikes here, audience. And so I thought, okay, so I was using my road bike. And then the other day I fixed up my girdle bike. Oh, I need to tell a story about that. It's very... My normal hybrid bike that I should have been riding the whole time. It's a very decent bike. And so... I am truckin'. It's my warm-up exercise. I just forgot to do it before my show. Truckin'. That was in stereo. People like Rob missed the stereo effect. Truckin'. Sorry you're autistic. You don't get to hear me say truckin' in stereo. Fuck you. All right. No, not fuck you. You're like half of my audience now. Unfuck you. I need an audience again so I can be mean to Rob. So these bikes just fucking suck. Okay, that's the bottom line. They are so fucking slow. They weigh like 500 pounds. They barely move. I tried two of them. The first one in the morning. So I'm not doing... I didn't join. So it's $100. Unlimited 45-minute rides for a year. Pretty good price. Garbage. So I didn't do that. I just did the thing where you do... you can just do a one-off and do a three, I hate that expression, one-off, but you can do like a $3 30-minute ride, which is barely long enough for a fat person to get to work for me. It takes me about 25 minutes on a normal bike, not a fucking, you know, tricycle thing. But I made it, and the bike on the way there, oh my God, the gears were just horrible. They kept slipping. On the way home, the gears didn't slip, but it was so slow. And I always wonder, because when I go home, I always try to avoid the blue Divvy bikes, because those people always go slow. And I always thought, oh, it's because they're fucking tourists. They don't know how to ride a bike. It's not because of that. It's because of the bikes suck. I didn't know that. Now I know, and I have what, ladies? Empathy urge. Empathurd. So, yeah. So that sucked. So, okay, this is so interesting to me. So I'm going to follow up on my bicicleta theft. Bicicleta is Spanish audience. Girdle. So, yeah, I'm very excited to have Max and Stacy on the show. Anyway, I was talking about nostalgia. I'll get back to the Nivea. I was talking about nostalgia, but the old-time radio, I feel like, it's for me, listening to that, it's like I found a secret treasure. It's like, oh, I dug up a secret treasure, and I'm sharing it with a few people. I mean, that stuff, it's so funny in a totally different way. The humor was so different then, and it's so genuine and wonderful. And, you know, we don't have the same issues of political correctness as we do now and that sort of thing. And it's just wonderful. It's just, I feel like I have something so special, and I'm sharing it. And I think that although, you know, a lot of this content is available if you search for it, people don't generally search for it. And it's not something that is in the zeitgeist. It should be, because it's fucking amazing. But then it'll get ruined if it is. So it's just very exciting. But along with that's the nostalgia in that way. But also, I have a sense of nostalgia because I guess, you know, I'm sort of programmed to believe, oh, you have to reinvent, and all that. Madonna. Go forward, never back. But what if Madonna just fucking went backwards and just say, I'm going to be a fucking 60-year-old virgin? You know, what? I mean, nostalgia is fucking, that's what I like. I like the way my show was. I think about the way my show was at the beginning in like 2004. 2005 when I first started, and how this show was really, it wasn't just me, it was an interaction with the audience, but the audience was part of the show in a way totally different from, I'm not talking about the way shows do now where you have a chat room, and this was much more organic, and that's why I want to go back to it. It was much more organic because people would, it created sort of a garden, and other shows grew out of it. And if you listen to people like Twinkle Boy who were involved then, or John Ong, and lots of people, lots of shows started because what would happen is people would, like I do a show, John Ong would do a show. He was actually probably the first gay podcaster before me. And, you know, and then you get an audience, and then the audience starts, if you invite the audience to participate, then maybe they record something, some content, some artwork, and some people want to actually find that they like doing the same thing. They like doing podcasts themselves, so they'll start a podcast, and then I'll talk about their podcast, and then I'll talk about their show, and then you can have a conversation through the podcast, and then other shows grow, and then shows get big that way. I think it's wonderful. And that's what I view as nostalgic, that whole process. Whereas what my show turned into, which is fine, and it changed, and it developed an audience, particularly when I brought Cheryl on, we had some wonderful times, you know, because after Bush, I think, kind of what happened is we got Obama, so we didn't really have the same I didn't have the same political zeal, and we just wanted to have fun. And what's wrong with that? So we had fun, just were nihilists, and, you know, and making fun of stuff, and then Deborah came on and made funny phone calls, you know, but that changed the audience, because the people that listen to that find that, and then Walls Fall Out the video became a huge hit with like 1.5 million downloads, brought a whole audience from that, which is basically cunty Cheryl fans who just, you know, love that kind of humor, just no politics, just, you know, kind of want to just be hilarious and laugh and just laugh, just viscerally think about things that are funny without analyzing them, which is cool, love it. But the point about the audience is that the audience changed to more of a, I guess, I don't know what you call it, like a theatrical audience, where the audience is participating only in the sense that they're able to chat, but they weren't involved in the show really at all. It would be like, okay, so we do a live show, and then there's a chat room, and the chat people say snarky things. And what I found often is that the people ended up controlling the content of the show. And that's why I stopped paying attention to the chat room during the show. But then people like Deborah would say, well, so-and-so wants you to do this. So-and-so donated $20 and they want to hear this. But that's not me. You know, that's just not what this is for me. But that's what it turned into. So, and then of course people get offended because you don't give them, pay them attention when it's that kind of environment. And I, what's the point of the chat room if you turn it off during the show? And then it just moved on from that. But I guess I nostalgize, if that's a word, the nostalgate, Nestle, Crunch Bar. I was nostalgic for this. I like talking, and I like having conversations with my audience, but not in real time. Although sometimes, and then remember, Norm Augustinus used to send me recordings. Max used to send me recordings. Who else? Roger Smalls used to send me recordings, and then I could respond to the recording in the show. And it's just this. It's almost like an old-fashioned style of conversation where you know, people used to write letters. You had to wait for the letter to respond, whereas today, you can just send a text message and instantaneous. And, you know, and so there's sort of some nostalgia in that and the way you could, you know, I would have a conversation over weeks because I might do a show today and then somebody might hear it in 3 days and they write a recording, send a recording to me. I get it 4 days later and then I respond to it another day. And then, I mean, I think there's real beauty in that. And that's exciting for me. And then there was the fact that it was on Sirius, which was also interesting. And Rob alluded to that in his phone call the other day where he was kind of suicidal. And, I forgot what I was going to say. I fucking forgot anyway. But because I was thinking about Rob, the thing is, that phone call was so scary to me because it was almost like, he was almost promoting suicide in a way. And I thought, you know, I can't put this on there because what if it inspires somebody to commit suicide or something? You know, it was really that. I was really alarmed by it. But then I really thought it was really kind of brilliant. Not writing, but the way he explained it was kind of some really amazing sort of philosophical thoughts that I feel like... I'm not going to censor something that's brilliant. I'll censor something if it's stupid, but, you know, you have to be intelligent, and you have to be a grown-up. And, you know, free speech comes with some responsibility, and, you know, that I wasn't about to let that sort of lovely philosophical discussion get thrown away, which is me. I don't want Rob to get too excited. I don't like to give him compliments, but this is what I thought. You know, I really just love existential thought, and that's what that was. My favorite book is Crime and Punishment. I like that. I like the darkness of the human soul. It's just wonderful to me. We have to deal with it. I do. Yeah, I do. So back to my bicicleta issue. So this is so interesting to me. So here's what happened. So Tuesday, my bike gets stolen. I only go to work Tuesday and Thursday. That's all they'll let me. I know you think I'm crazy. I wear my mask. I ride my bike. Whatever. I do the best I can. But yesterday, I don't think I've shit in 2 days because yesterday somebody sneezed on my floor. And then I was too afraid to go to the bathroom because I'm like, oh, my God, somebody sneezed. What if they have COVID? One sneeze, mind you. Now I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I haven't shit in 2 days because somebody sneezed. Right. But then we got a memo saying that they refresh the air in the bathrooms every hour or something like that. Anyway. I just can't sleep. I can't shit. I'm going to get constipated because somebody sneezed. Anyway, but I had to get the fuck out of the house, you know? I just did, audience. I just had to. Sometimes you just have to. I mean, you can't. It's like the boy in the plastic bubble. I started off with this pandemic before anybody else. Even when I remember talking to Cheryl, and she's like, "You're crazy, Madge." She's like, "Madge, my mother won't go to the store. She's afraid." I'm like, "Yeah, she should be." And this was in February. Now Cheryl's gone off the deep end, and I'm the one that's kind of mellowing out on the whole thing. Not mellowing out, but, you know, I do what I can. Somebody was just yelling at me about, because I use a valve mask, saying it's terrible and it's selfish. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know. All I know is Stacy told me to get that fucking mask in like April. I ordered it. It took me 3 months to get it. And I finally get it. And I like the fit. It's got all this rubber. It's very tight. like you breathe totally through the mask. It has no gaps. And now you're telling me it's unethical because this thing, I don't know. And then this person who, I don't know, are you a doctor? Is just sending me all this shit on Instagram. So it's shaming me. Well, it's better than not wearing a fucking mask like Herman fucking Cain and then being dead, isn't it? Jesus Christ, you know. A little perspective, people, please. I do what I can. Oh, God. I mean, I do what I fucking can. When I have people in that I can't social distance, I always wear a mask. And I guess sometimes I also have the surgical mask, but, you know, they don't fucking cover shit. You know? I don't really know. Does that valve really blow you? I mean, it's... What the fuck? No, I didn't want to talk about it. It just, it's like, I'm wearing my fucking mask, and now that's not fucking good enough? Jesus Christ, enough. All right. The bicycle issue. So, audience, I hope I'm not plosiving too much into this microphone. I think I should have, you know, I had that rabbit dick, whatever it's called, the rabbit tail. No, rat. The rat? The thing, the hairy thing for the mic. And it used to be gray. I mean, and then I returned it because it looked ridiculous. And I got this one that doesn't look ridiculous. It just looks like a huge black cock. And, but I don't think it's as good for the plosives now that I use this thing like 3 times a week or whatever. But I'm only going to use this for the winter and then I'll be back inside again. So I went to the bike shop on Tuesday. And No. I got my bike stolen on Tuesday. So Wednesday, I went to the bike shop because bike got stolen, right? Police report was interesting because the police said, well, what about the lock? Was the lock in pieces? Did it look like it had been broken into? I said, no. There were no lock pieces. So either they took it with the lock, which I don't know how they could do, or they unlocked it somehow, you know? Maybe they figured out a way to break into the lock. I don't know, like, pick the lock or something, but they did not break the lock. Okay, interesting. So then I was at the bike shop to get a new lock the next day, and well, it actually was too early. It's a long story, but the bike shop was closed, but they let me in anyway just to look at the locks. So on the way home from the bike shop, where I didn't buy a lock for my other bike, my hybrid, I'm sorry for so much detail, but I just don't want to talk about Trump and Herman Cain and all that shit. I'm sick of it. So I unlocked. No, so I was like, okay, so I'm going to get a new lock later today. So I should take the old key for my old lock of the stolen bike off my keychain. So I get home and I do that. But guess what? It wasn't fucking there. There was my bike key of the stolen bike was not on my keychain. It was gone. And it's never gone. I have one of those old, you know, just a normal key ring, a thick key ring. With the spiral, you know, the round ones where you have to really pry it open and break a fingernail to get your keys out. So I didn't touch that thing. Definitely. That key did not break. It was very durable, like thick plastic. So, and if it had broken, like when I had put the key in to lock the bike, like somehow, perhaps if I, you know, were to have left that key in the bike lock, I would have noticed it. Like if it broke off, I would have noticed that. Because it's part of my routine. There's no way, like, I would not have. It's just ridiculous. It's beyond the scope of my imagination to think that that key could have gotten, that I could have left it in the lock in any way. It could not have come off the chain, or off the key ring, and it could not have, and if it somehow broke off the plastic, I would have noticed it. I mean, it's just, I would have. So it was just gone. Now, here's what happened. So I took a late lunch from work that day, and it's always the same. Not the time, the routine. So I always leave my key ring out on my desk, my beige desk. Because when I go to work in shorts and I change into pants. And then I put my keys. I don't like having... I'm a lesbian, but I don't like wearing keys. I know that's weird. I'm not like that song, Ring of Keys, from the funeral home show. Fun Home. Though I did enjoy that. The Bechdel effect, whatever. So I played with my vagina. No, kidding. I didn't play with my vagina at work. Not that day. Played with my vagina. Where are the chickens? Oh, I'm on the wrong street. There are the chickens. Fingered my cunty. Ate it out. No. So I, every day, if I go to lunch, I leave my keys out. I leave the door open. My laptop's there. My laptop's open. Everything. I'm in this very safe, high secure, so I thought, office environment. Guards and all that shit. No cameras on the floor, though, because the nature of the business for some reason requires that that not be. I don't really understand it. In any case, to me, I don't know how. The only way I can think of that key went away. So I always leave my keys out, and then I take a lunch. And that day I took about a 70-minute lunch, went 10 minutes over. So my keys were out. My door was open. Anybody who works, it would be easy for somebody to know my routine. So I don't know what could have happened, but somebody would have had to know that bike belongs to me. And then stole the key when I was gone. So, sounds like it's possibly an inside job, unless there's something outside of the scope of my imagination I can't think of. So, it feels like, as weird as it sounds, that somebody stole the key off my key ring while I was at lunch and stole my bike with that key. I know that's absolutely insane, but it's the only plausible explanation. So, I thought about that. It really made me upset because I was finally getting over the bike. You know, I can get over shit. I'm an old woman. I can get over shit pretty quickly. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get over. And then when that happened, I thought, no, I have to do something about this. And then I'm thinking, well, I'm worried because what if I tell the office director, and then they go to security and say, well, somebody from security might have stolen this, or maybe it was a clean woman. You know, they're always going to blame the lowest ranking person. So then what? A cleaning woman is going to get fired during a pandemic because I misplaced my key, you know, in their mind, right? Oh, there's a friend of mine. I'm like, this could get weird. Hi there.
Hey, man. It's Rob. Thanks for playing my suicidal message. I kind of felt like my shitty phone service cut out just to censor me right as I said that word. Fuck, I hate living in the sticks. But I just wanted to say about today's Grom, I don't know who these people are who are telling you to talk about politics. We don't want to hear about you, but fuck them. Hearing about your bike broke my heart, and I know exactly what that feels like when someone takes something from you. And I know you probably don't want to be compared to me, but we're the same in trying to rationalize things or make our own truth, as you said. Isn't it amazing that we have so much empathy that we dismiss our own feelings in an attempt to make someone else feel good? What the fuck is that about? Also, I say like a schoolgirl, and it irritates me listening back to it, so I'm going to try and stop doing that, but I'll probably fuck that up like everything else. Anyway, I hope you find your bike and they fucking put the thief in the electric chair that we both don't support. Oh, and also, you need to get an eGPU. You can put whatever ports you want on it. The reason that these docks typically only have one HDMI and one DisplayPort is because you can pass through what's called a DisplayPort pass-through, USB-C. You know what? You may already know all this shit. No one cares anyway. So hit me up if you want recommendations. Don't listen to whatever Deborah told you to do. Okay, bye.
Oh. That was a friend of mine from, God, I've known her since I was a child. She was my sister's best friend for years. And now they're not friends anymore, but she like stood so far away from me when I was talking to her. I guess, you know, people have their reasons, but I put my mask on because I don't leave the mask on when I record. So I put the mask on when I was at least 20 feet away from her, but she still walked away from me. So I'm hurt. I can't wear a mask and do the show. You know, this is what it sounds like. Do you want me to sound like this? Is that what you want me to sound like? I don't know. Maybe that sounds okay. Well, I don't like it anyway. Chicky. I'm feeding the chickens. But she was kind of nuts. All right. Let's see. Oh, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Anyway, everybody's nuts. It's not just her. I don't know what. You know, I have to remember that. I don't know what somebody's situation is. Right? Maybe somebody is high risk and I don't know about it. Just because somebody does something that I think is nuts, they might have a reason for it. You know, I was talking to my lesbian wife, and this might be interesting for you, because I don't talk about my personal stuff, but RuPaul said I have to be vulnerable, even though that's not what this is. But I'm not finished with the bicycle story. So I met my wife in yoga class here at, in Chicago, around the corner from where I live, right? And there's a point to this. It's about judging, prejudging. So I have this blue bandana. Sometimes my hair gets big. Like right now, my hair is big. I haven't gotten it cut since January. It's big and it's horrible and it's almost ponytail length. Well, it's stupid ponytail length now. It's like douchebag ponytail length now. So I can wear like a woman bun, right? I can wear the man bun. Sometimes when people pass, I forget my train. But I forget my train anyway. I can't blame it on strangers. So when I met her, I was wearing a bandana to keep my hair out of my face during yoga. And she told me that the first, like, two or three times she saw me, she just thought I was this douchebag because of my tie-dyed blue bandana, which, by the way, I had since 1996 when I also got, when I did the first AIDS ride from Minneapolis to Chicago. The team I was on, the group leader, gave us each one a tie-dyed bandana, and I still have mine. Anyway, so it's very sentimental to me. Anyway, but really, I was just wearing this bandana to keep the hair out of my face, and she thought I was a huge douchebag that I thought I was trying to make some show and look amazing with my bandana, but no, all I was trying to do is keep the hair out of my eyes. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know. My point is, people have their reasons, and I shouldn't judge them. So if she stood 12 feet away from me, and she was actually literally on the street and I was on the sidewalk, maybe she has a reason for it. Who am I to judge except Madge? I'm the person, that's what I do. I should just call this the Complain Cast. I want to just start a new podcast that's just me complaining and then everybody complains. So please send me your complaints. BloatedLesbian@gmail.com. Send me your complaints. I think somebody did email. It's probably Rob again. BloatedLesbian@gmail.com. Firm Uterus. It's fine to call my voicemail. I figured out how to download the file. So don't worry. You pick up the phone and call Firm Uterus. It's the easiest way to send me a voicemail. No problem at all. I'm just so stupid technically. I couldn't figure out how to download it, but you can in the interface. So do whatever you want. And Bloated Lesbian on Twitter. Somebody had a hard time finding me. I don't know how hard it is to spell Bloated Lesbian, but imagine Weinstein on Instagram. And if you're listening to me on YouTube or on the Instagram posts, I don't know how long I'm going to be doing that, so please subscribe to me in your favorite podcasting equipment, Yeast Radio. By the way, I have to talk about Michelle Obama. She has the nerve to do an exclusive. The former first lady has more money than God. She did this whole book, Becoming, got so rich. She was already rich. She's got plenty of fucking money. And she wants to do a podcast. That's great. I love her. I read her book. Fantastic. But she does an exclusive podcast deal with Spotify. So you have to have Spotify so she can make even more money. That's bullshit, and that's not fucking democratic. As a former first lady, you should fucking know better. Yeah, you were probably advised wrong. I don't give a shit. No excuse. Nobody should be advising you, and you shouldn't take the advice to make a non-democratic podcast on an inherently democratic platform. That's the opposite of democratic, and it's nasty. And I will not listen to that show. Very upsetting. You know, I understand if fucking some horrible Real Housewife wants to do it that way. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking broken. I don't fucking sell out. I get offers to be exclusive networks. I've already done that shit. I know what it's like, so maybe I have an excuse. But give me a oh, here's one chicken. And then we'll talk about the epilogue. Here's one chicken. Oh, chicken. Oh, she loves me. Only one chicken. This one has a bald spot on her booty hole. Come here. Oh, she's not talking. She only talks more. When my wife is here, she talks a lot. But now they don't. Oh, here they come.
Here's popcorn.
Hi.
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 Hi. Yes.
Come here.
All right, well, I don't want to have a lot of dead air with the chickens. Let's see, here are the names. Popcorn, Magnolia, Pip, Regina, George. I know I've done this. I'm not going to read them all again. So what happened is, so I finally decided, you know, I was afraid if there are other people getting things stolen, I should, you know, I felt like I have to. I didn't want to be a Karen and get somebody in trouble, but I didn't want to also risk you know, what if there's a pattern of theft in the office and other people are getting things stolen and then I don't report it? Unless, say, something really important gets stolen, like some documents that get leaked somewhere. And then I don't want to be responsible for that. You know, I just didn't know. So I talked to the office manager, and she's a very good person, very reasonable. And she was the same mindset as me. She's like, I'm not going to go on a witch hunt. Thank you for telling me. That's really weird. I'm going to ask security if they have footage from outside. Turns out they didn't. But I'm not going to, like, go on an internal witch hunt because then, you know, they'll end up just firing a cleaning lady. This is what she said, and I totally agree with that. So they came back and they looked and couldn't find anything. But she made an offer to me, which I accepted, which is basically she said, well, so the whole reason I was parking on the street is because they have bicycle parking in the garage, but they charge $20 a month in my office to park your bike. And I just thought that was too expensive because I'm not rich. And $20 a month for me is a lot of money. I could get that fucking Photoshop CS suite for the academic version like Deborah has. But Deborah's rich. I could get that fucking thing, you know, for $20 a month. I could pay for Avid Media Composer for $20 a month. I could get a lot of shit for $20 a month. Of course, it wouldn't run on my computer, but that's neither here nor there. I didn't even get to talk about the docs again. I need to talk about the docs. I need a doc. That's my new drag name because I'm obsessed with docs. Thunderbolt/USB-C docs. But don't get me started. Nobody makes what I want. So they have this parking garage for the bikes, secure, right? Where the cars park. But it's $20 a month. She said, well, we talked to the management of the organization, and they're willing to pay for your bike parking for the remainder of the pandemic. Okay, that was cool. So, okay, I think there was a little kid feeding the chickens, and now I think the kid's dumb, so I'm going to see if I can get them back. Here, chickies. Come here. Come here. Chickies. No, it's not working because now somebody else brought real food. They prefer real food, not the leaves. Well, you can only feed them vegetables, the chickies. Anyway, so the chickens. So basically, they offered to pay $20 a month so I can park my bike in the garage for the duration of the pandemic. Then it's on me again. So they sent me the form to fill out, and it asks, like, how many months do you want to pay? So I asked the director, I'm like, so should I just pay for, like, 4 months so I can use it through November? She said, no, just do it month to month because we don't know if they're going to do a shutdown again. So every month I have to remember to pay for my $20 bike parking. But they're paying for, like, people to drive in during the pandemic, too, which is, like, $250 a month. So, I mean, you would think that they would just be like, okay, well, it's only $20, just do the 4 months, but no. Anyway, so I don't know how I feel about it. I would rather just lock my bike up, but now I feel like I'm going to get raped again. So, I don't know how long I've been talking because I stopped it when my friend passed by. Well, my sister's friend. It's 11:09. We've got yoga at 12. Oh, Shoshaldin says, please call me fat. Let me call her. I'm going to call her for a minute. A voice call. Let me see. I don't know if I don't do this to her.
What?
Hey, I'm recording right now. I'm recording.
Okay. Did you like the cake I just sent you?
I didn't see it because I've been recording. Let me look.
Okay.
But you wanted me to call you fat?
Oh, yes. Thanks.
You're fat.
Thank you. I just posted a picture of myself where I look super fat, and I was confused why you haven't been fat yet.
Oh, the cake says, congrats, you are a cunt.
Yes.
I would love that cake. It looks delicious,
I know,
too.
I saw it, and I thought of you.
You thought of me?
Yeah.
Thanks.
What is your grum about?
My bike getting stolen and my office being willing to pay $20 for bike parking after it gets stolen. That's all.
I'm sad about your bike.
I'm over it. I mean, it happened. But the thing is, I told you about the key thing, so that made me worried. So I had a report that I think, because I think they stole the key off my chain. But I already talked about it, so I don't want to go there. I just wanted to call you fat, and you're fat.
Thank you.
You're obese.
Thanks. Okay. can I ask a bite question?
Don't eat. Yeah.
I haven't been using my clipless pedals, and I have like look cleats, which are
horrible.
You know, like really, yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about just getting platforms for my pedals, but I keep prolonging like ordering them. What do you think? Just so I can do city riding.
Oh yeah, do it. It's so easy.
Okay.
You can do it yourself. Okay. Just get a pedal wrench. They're not expensive, but you have to get a pedal wrench, and then you do it yourself. It's very easy. You don't need to take it to a bike shop.
Okay. But, well, I don't even have to order new pedals. I can just get the things that you clip into the current pedals I have.
Absolutely, do it. Don't even bother with the. You don't even need the cage with the straps. Just get regular pedals.
Yeah, it says. Yeah, you have the choice of buying with or without. Okay, I'm going to buy them now. Thanks to your call.
You better actually ride the bike, or I'm going to call you. Well, you're going to be even fatter. So you don't just use this as an excuse. You have to really ride your bike because mine got stolen.
I actually want to. I love my bike.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Bye, fat. All right. That was fun. All right. I guess it's over. I guess I should go home. I don't know if I have time to edit this and post it before, because I'm going to play more Jack Benny. And I don't know if I have time to post it before yoga. I also have to get a haircut today. I'm not going to let it grow out again. It just hurts. It's just too hot. This is a hot summer. Global warming and all that. It's horrible. Yeah. So, and that, and Herman Cain died after not wearing a mask in Tulsa, and I had an argument with somebody on the internet about what I was going to talk about, but I don't really want to because I don't have the energy, but it's not really an argument. I just want to know, like, how, well, he basically said, no, I don't want to go, he basically said a mask, when I said Herman Cain died because he didn't wear a mask, and he said a mask wouldn't have helped him. And I said, yeah, well, maybe, but it certainly would have helped him if whoever gave him COVID was wearing the mask. And then he went on this whole long thing and sent me some article with 32 different doctors saying why masks are horrible and kill you or something. And the thing is, like, my point that I was trying to get to him is, okay, give me a scenario in which you would change your mind. Like, because I'm trying to figure out, like, if this person is just in a place where nothing will change his mind because he's based on emotion, or if it's possible that it is in the realm of possibility that there's some scientific evidence that would change his mind. And I really found no. And so when I kept pressing him and pressing him, I said, well, what alternative explanation? Because there's a lot of, like, data that shows that in countries where masks... I can't believe I'm going there. In countries where masks are mandatory, where everybody wears masks, that COVID is virtually nil. Like, it just stopped. Like Japan. And so, he said, well, that doesn't mean it's because of the masks. He said, that's correlation, not causation. I said, okay, well, give me an alternative hypothesis. He said, well, I'm not going to guess. I said, but there's nothing wrong with forming a hypothesis. It's perfectly scientific, because he said he's scientific. It's perfectly scientific to create an alternative hypothesis. What is the other hypothesis that would explain why countries where everybody wears masks has an much lower incidence of COVID transmission? And he couldn't think of a reason. So I kept pressing and pressing. And then his only hypothesis is that the data is bad. So he's questioning the validity. So his hypothesis was that the data is no good. I said, so none of the data from all these countries, all these organizations, none of it's good. It's all wrong. So then I basically just gave up, because in a civil way, I said, well, thank you, you know, for indulging me in my curiosity. I didn't want to end up calling each other stupid. I don't think that's helpful. So the only positive thing I could say, because I don't think I was able to convince him, and who knows, maybe he's right and I'm wrong. It's possible. I think you always have to admit that you have the possibility of being wrong, but I feel like, based on that conversation, that he's just so emotionally attached to this conspiracy, this conclusion, that he bends the facts in a very unrealistic way to match his conclusion. Like, saying that all of the data from the whole planet is invalid because he doesn't want that to be true, that doesn't make sense to me. So anyway, but But the positive thing I was getting to is that we left on a friendly note, a cordial note, and I was basically, he said, well, but I want to send you, look at all these references of these doctors, and I said, yes, I read all that because I followed your Twitter sheets before I even engaged you. And I guess he took that to mean that somehow I agree with him, and I made no indication as such. So, you know, I just said, well, thank you for indulging my curiosity. I don't really feel like there's anything else to discuss here. Thank you. And he said, oh, I guess we're best friends then. And he sent me these nice memes. So we left it cordially. And that, I feel like, is the only positive thing. Because I feel like the, I don't know, I feel like it has to be polite. It has to be kind. And somehow that leaves the possibility open. And when you just shut somebody down, then all that's going to do is sort of corner them and lock them into their opinion. So I feel like I'm investing in the possibility he might change his opinion just by showing that I'm willing to be open. Because people don't like to feel like they're just being ignored and shut down and idiots and all that. I don't know. I'm just trying. We're all just doing the best we can. And that. So, I took a day off from work today. This was wonderful. And, gonna get my hair cut. And, what else? Send me your content, please. Participate in this show however you want to. Donations are also welcome, too. I keep forgetting that. I love donations, but I haven't been pushing it because I know times are tough. But if I ever get fired, I'm going to push the hell out of that shit. But yeastradio.com/donate shows you how to donate. I'm just $ bloated lesbian on Cash App. And if you want to, if you enjoyed Tampon Tammy, give her a donation. Even if you gave her like only a couple dollars, she'd be so excited to get her first donation. She's only gotten one so far. But she's a $ Tampon Tammy. Go to tampontammy.com. And I think if you donate, she might be more inclined to make more videos. That tampon unboxing was amazing. So trying to get her to do more. So send some money to Tampon Tammy. Even if it's just a dollar, that would be so great. All right. Audience, it's time to go. Going to go back inside. Maybe I'll have time to edit this, put some more Jack Benny's on. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. It's a little weird when I'm doing it this way because I can't interact with the clips I play. So it's all done in post. So, and I don't know. So again, if you're watching this on YouTube or Instagram, subscribe to me instead because I don't know how long I'm going to... It's a lot of work to do that. And they're always censoring me on those platforms. I hate them. I like to self-host. Talk to you later. Have a wonderful day.
Whether I'm going to be a nun or whether I'm going to be a mother or, you know, if I'm going to be a salesperson, whatever I'm going to be, don't ever enter my body.
Hey, everyone. It's Manch. I've returned. I'm back at my studio. I just wanted to tell you, audience, that I've decided not to play the Jack Benny's today. I've got, I swear there's a faint buzzing that's going to make me a little crazy. I'm not going to play it because, I got to get a haircut, and I just need to get her done. Also, when I go after an hour, I can't post this on the Instagram, and that shouldn't matter, but whatever. In any case, only Red Monkey cares anyway, but yeah, I'll play the next side soon. I sure will. In any case, you have a nice day or pandemic, whichever comes first. Oh, that's the wrong fucking one. That's the opening. Sorry. Have a nice pandemic, audience. Yeah.
Baby, you got to hang up because I can't get no in calls because you got me on whatever you're doing.